All right, everyone, we are back to I'll Cry If I Want To. I'm Allie Brain, your event manager, your host who knows events. And then I have my great friend, Kevin Long, who is the chef who knows all the food.
Great friend. Yeah. And okay, so here we are. I'm Kevin Long doing our thing. And first off, welcome. Our guest today is Chris Patrick, a new friend of mine.
Thank you. Thank you.
New friend of mine as well.
Very new friend of Allie's, so about 12 minutes in.
12 minutes in.
But she was a dog. She was a dog lover, so it came really quickly.
Yeah,
it was very,
it did.
Very natural. Very natural.
Oh, my God. If you had that dog.
Like dogs of yours, and food. Like, we're in. We're
if
in.
You had that dog of yours here, like, that, I mean, people must go crazy when. I know I saw that your dog, and I was like, oh, my God.
Well, that's, I mean, it's actually become like a thing. People come to my restaurant because I keep the dog in a pen out front, like away from food, obviously, different room. But people come just to see the dog now. Like,
oh,
they walk in. I'm like, what can I get for you? They're like, oh, no, I don't want anything. Just, I'm here for the dog. I'm like, oh.
The dog is so beautiful. And it's in the Spaniel family, which is, you know, I'm a sucker for her anyway. So.
Yeah. And she's just like a, you know, she's soft. She doesn't bite. She doesn't bark. She doesn't make a noise. She's just one of those puppies.
I think she actually
she just
barked
sits
at
there.
Me.
Well, that's because Kevin's, you know, he's intimidating. You know? He's
like, so our new friend Chris, my new friend Chris, you own a pizza shop. Tell us a little
bit
about that.
Does anybody call you Chris, or is it always CP?
Well, my friends call me Chris, obviously, but you know, around work, CP.
Gotcha.
Yeah, he's CP.
CP.
So goes by either way. Tell us about your existing place and your plans. And we're here to talk about pizza today.
Yeah, this is our pizza episode.
Nothing better than pizza.
I know. Right. That's why I'm so excited for this episode. So, Chris, you own a pizza place in the South Shore in Scituate. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, I do. I own CP's Wood Fire Pizza in Scituate. Right now, it's just a little shack kind of down by the ocean there. But I was lucky enough to work with Jimmy Burke, who was a very well-known Italian chef. So he kind of taught me the ropes. And so we started out 11 years ago, May 13th, 2011. So, yeah, it's been a long time now. It's going good. Life is good, and we're just buying a new one. We're going to expand, and we're kind of growing like a weed now. So it's
So you started with just pizzas, but now you're adding like pastas and.
Well, I mean, I met the great Kevin Long.
Yeah.
So I mean, when you meet a man of that, you know,
heard
ilk,
of him?
Yeah, you know, that ilk. You know, you have to kind of get him involved. So.
Jesus Christ, I don't even know what ilk means. turn me up a little bit more over there, would you?
But yeah, so now we're doing pastas with. Kevin's great pasta. He's going to make the pastas for me, and then I'll put all the ingredients together. We're going to do a little bit more upscale Italian at this new place. A lot of Italian wines and pairings and things, and we're going to do a lot of local seafood, mostly Mulaney's. Shout out to Mulaney's. We'll have fresh, locally sourced seafood. We'll have fresh, locally sourced pasta.
I don't think we've ever talked about Mulaney's on here. So Mulaney's is in Scituate Harbor, and they've been there for forever. And they are really, really rooted in the community. And they're actually one of my first people, Joby, down at Mulaney's, was one of the first clients, official clients, paying customers that I had with Boston Pasta.
Oh, I love that.
And he's been a really big supporter. So he has a beautiful little fish shop in the center, in the harbor, in the center of town. And recently, like the last 5 years or whatever, he put on an addition with a second level, and it's all very, very state of the art.
It was.
And he is one of those guys that actually buys right from boats. So the boats come in right there and they go directly to his door. So he could literally have the freshest fish available. Because you think about like fresh fish and stuff, and fresh fish means day boat and so on and so forth. But he actually does that sort of stuff. So those boats go out, they come back, they unload, and they go right to his door. And he processes and everything right there, which is really great. So. And
yeah, that's really cool.
Fun fact, that boat is actually his cousin.
It's
Kevin Norton, who's now fishing, and then he brings it to Joby Norton. So
Very cool.
Unfortunately, there's no more second floor, because I don't know if you heard, but I don't know if she's drunk or what, but she crashed right through the hole.
Oh,
Robbie.
Shit.
Oh, yeah. I was down there. They're quickly repairing that.
Did they repair it? That's good.
So what we got a million things and a million directions to go in with pizza, but what really impressed me was like CP is known in the community as this guy down there, right? You grew up in?
No, I grew up in Braintree, actually.
You grew up in Braintree. So why are you so well known in Scituate?
I'm a fun-loving guy.
His dog.
So he seems to know kind of everybody, and then you know in the area in the South Shore and this and that. And I'd be like, oh, CP and this and that. I'd be like, I don't know who the hell that is. I don't know what you're talking about. So, anyways, we met, and what I really liked off of sort of from the start was I went in there and obviously super nice guy, great, great dog. And he's working out of this little teeny place, and I'm looking around, and as a, you know, chef in the industry and a cook and so on and so forth, I've lived my life, and I go into these different kitchens, and you glean from these visits to other kitchens, you glean like a million things, and as I've sort of done this, like, you know, I'm looking at like, oh man, like I was walking through a kitchen the other day, and I was actually at a production facility, and I'm like, wow, look at these walls. I'm like, these walls are great, right? which CP knows what I'm talking about.
Yeah, absolutely.
You'd be like, oh, man, what is this? It's like you think of your walls, right, Allie? Like you've worked in a lot of kitchens. Like you got that shitty Mylar or whatever the hell it is, right, that has the ripples in it, and then it's white. When it goes up, it looks really nice, and then it stains, and it turns fucking weird and yellow, and it's gross, right? I'm like looking at these walls, and it's some sort of like painted like metal or something. I'm like, oh, these are really good. They seem real cleanable. And then I'm like, oh, maybe they dent. You know, that's a problem when you have the metal, it's like a dance and this and that. So I'm in Chris's like self-professed shack, and I'm looking around and I'm like, fuck, this guy's got like a lot of shit in this little spot. And it's like, it's a wood up. One of the greatest things is he cooks on wood, which I immediately was asking about, right? So you use like a compressed wood.
Yep, I use the NV8 BioBricks, which is a food grade safe, but they compress it down to a brick. It establishes consistency is what it does.
Yeah.
Because if you're just throwing logs in there, they, you know, everyone reacts different. You get different temperatures. This just adds a little bit consistency to something that's already inconsistent.
So, which is interesting because you think about, like, my parents, like, they love their pellet stove, right?
And I'm
like,
my parents do too. They love their pellet stove.
God. I'm just like, oh my God, the pellet stove. They talk all about it. Your parents have a pellet stove?
Yeah,
too?
My parents do. And my boyfriend had one in the first house that he lived in when we started dating. He had one for years. And then when he sold that house, that he left the pellet stove there, but I think he just ordered another. No, not a pellet stove. He ordered one of the inserts for like the fireplace.
So
that like blows the air out.
Yeah,
so he just ordered that, but he had a pellet stove when we lived in Scituate for years. I remember going to Home Depot during the winter to like, you know, can you stop and get 3 bags? Like all the time.
So what Chris does is uses a modern sort of compressed wood thing, right? Very consistent in this, and the whole thing is cool. So he's burning a wood oven with a gas assist, right?
Well,
so
no,
is there gas?
No, my current oven is 100% wood.
Oh, there's no gas.
No gas.
Oh, that's cool.
No,
oh,
the next evolution will be a little bit of a hybrid model.
Oh, see, I thought there was a gas in that one. So anyways, so he's burning this wood oven with this thing, very consistent and stuff, and he's just jamming out these pizzas. And then you go around to the rest of the stuff, and like I think it was actually the second visit I was there. He's got a guy that's cutting fresh mozzarella. And tell me about like the rest of you've got a background in pizza.
Well, I'll tell you this. So the kind of the cool part about, and you're like this too, when you're being a hands-on owner, and now that I'm kind of getting a second restaurant, it gives me a minute to kind of look back, right? So, like you're talking about the wood. So when I first started there, and you know we started this place, I literally had a hatchet, and I would go get a cord of wood, and I'd go out back, and I would hack that thing up every single morning, and I would load up that wood. So you know, in terms of the cheese, I used to like we try to make our own cheese, which was if you've ever done, it's fun, but it's that kind of capacity is my shoulder's still messed up, and just trying to pull that cheese away. But and then we started hand julienning it with a knife for a long time. So then I got an egg slicer. I used to do the cheese with the egg slicer, and eventually now I have like a little dicing machine, and it's you know much better. But it's kind of cool to kind of look back and kind of see all those like the evolution of it all. Like I was telling a customer the other day, he came up with my first coupon from 2014, and I was telling him, I go, when I built that coupon, I didn't have delivery drivers. I used to have a sign that says Chris is out on delivery, and you'd order a pizza. I would close the restaurant. I would go deliver it to your house and come back. And it was
just all by yourself. Like I'm getting this up and running.
Exactly.
I love that.
So I mean, you know, unfortunately, the as much as you always want to keep things as pure as possible, with growth comes some compromise. But you know, I do keep everything to be the best. I haven't compromised any ingredients.
I think it's more innovation than compromise.
Yes.
It's like as you get bigger. Yeah, as you get bigger as a company, you do have to take innovative steps to like, listen, I can't produce this much cheese by hand.
Yes.
I have to have a machine help me. Like,
innovation is a great word because also a lot of that was I was a broke kid. I mean, I literally just cooked in the kitchen for I think I made $12 an hour when I bought CPs. I just happened to like when I was in college, I happened to invest some money in Dunkin' Donuts.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I got them at like 20 a share. So I just made enough money. Like I dabbled a little bit and made just enough for the down payment on the restaurant.
That's great.
Yeah. And then there was like, I had to put my mom's house up as collateral. But I had like $0 to my name. So like innovation is a great word because these tools I have, I couldn't even afford. Like we use a knife because that's all I had. The hatchet I took from my mom's shed. You know, all the pots and pans we had. Still, some of the pots and pans are my mom's. She still yells at me. She goes,
"What's
this
pans?"
I'm like, "Oh yeah, it's still down the restaurant. Sorry." You know, it's like my mom still makes. We have homemade chocolate chip cookies. My mom comes in the morning. She bakes them off at the restaurant.
Yeah, I love any kind of restaurant like this. That it's like a family project.
Bake them in the wood, or she bake them in?
No, I have like a little separate oven for just for that.
So everything that he has is method driven. Is really nothing's haphazard. It's all been done, developed, streamlined, bettered, repetition, innovation, and the whole thing. So we talked about the wood. So the other thing is, right? So you're buying an Italian flour, right? Yep. Obviously makes his own dough and stuff. Yep. So you're buying a. So what is the theory behind the Italian flour? And I ask this because this is premeditated.
Yes.
Because I am making all my pasta and I do not buy an Italian flour. I do have Italian flours available to me. But I buy a U.S. flour that's made in North Dakota.
Yeah. Well, I can answer that because actually, as recently as 2 weeks ago, I was actually in the Caputo factory with Marco Caputo himself. Give me a nice tour. I'll show you the videos off air. To give you the whole backstory, because we got plenty of time here.
So you're in Italy. I'm like the best I can hope for is to go to North Dakota. I don't even know where North Dakota is.
There's nothing wrong with the American flour. So what happened was in 1948, the guy won a Nobel Prize. He was trying to cure hunger, world hunger. It was a great idea. So he did a hybridization model of the wheat plant, and it was faster. It was shorter, had larger yield. It was faster growing cycles, and it was a better plant. He could produce three times the amount of bread as he could previously, right? The guy got a Nobel Prize, right? It was unbelievable. But what we now learned is through hybridization of plants and stuff, that's what we call now GMOs, right? Genetically modified.
Yep.
And that's what's got all these people with these gluten intolerances and things. And it's not even a bad thing, really. We kind of overhype it a little bit. Like, if you tell me you can cure world hunger and you get a little bit of a bellyache for some of the population, that's a fair compromise, right? Like, that's the guy's still a hero. I'm a big fan of his. But
I mean, his intention was to feed the world. So that's a great intention.
I don't even know this story. Do you know anything about
this? No, I'm learning with you.
Yeah, okay,
I love
let's
it.
Let's go.
But, so anyway.
Classroom with Chris.
In Italy, they just used the original wheat strain. So
you know what's funny that you say this? Because there is a lot of talk online where people are like, how come when I go to Europe, I don't have a stomach ache? When I eat pasta and pizza in Europe, I don't have a stomach ache. But when I'm here in America, I have a gluten intolerance. And I've seen so many things on like Instagram and
It's the same thing with wine and sulfates. And
yeah, but this is interesting because now instead of just like wondering why my stomach hurts here and doesn't in Europe, now I kind of know why.
That the Italian flour is genetically different.
It's genetically different, yes.
It's like the pure genetic form of that instead of the hybrid that we do here that then causes stomach problems.
I mean, we're dog lovers, right? So if you got a purebred dog, it lives 15 years, right? If you got a puggle or something, it lives like 10, right?
Yeah.
Because you're genetically modifying
that watering animal. It down, I guess.
Yeah, it's just, I mean,
I don't know this either.
Yeah.
Mixed breeds typically don't last as long as purebreds.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
I've heard that. I've never done research. Let me preface this by saying I've never researched
it. It's really cool because I actually went to school for snakes, herpetology.
Oh, cool.
And reptiles live forever, pretty much. Snakes, 15 to 25 years. Alligators can live 80 to 100 years. Like, I have a buddy who makes albino alligators and jet black alligators. It's like
he just makes alligators. I love that.
It's a breeding program, but it's like these things live 80 years. So it's like if you can make you a cool white alligator and it lives 60, that's almost better, right? So it's like they'd be purple snakes now.
This is so wild. I've never heard of people creating colorful lizards.
What kind
stuff.
Of wheat I can get does you a lizard feed that's
the like this is wild to me. We're
bright purple bearded dragon.
Fuck events and food. I want to talk about color changing lizards. That's what this podcast is now.
I don't even know the words he's saying.
He's saying that these people are breeding genetically modified
lizards
and alligators and stuff. This is fascinating.
But it's the same thing in the wheat plant. So it's just anytime you modify genetics. There's a a detriment to it, and in Italy they just never did. So
you're using the original unmolested flour.
Old school Italian.
You're getting hooked on.
Do you find that people with gluten intolerance can eat your pizza easier?
It's a very very large population of my like a customer base is people who are gluten intolerant. And I even go one step further. I figured out that the buffalo milk mozzarella that I get from Italy has a different lactate protein. So I have people who are lactose intolerant and gluten intolerant who can eat a delicious buffalo milk mozzarella pizza, just like you get in Italy, the napoletana.
Where do you get the buffalo milk?
From Naples.
And you having that like direct imported, or you buy that from somebody? Because it's really hard to get, because it goes bad so fast.
Yeah, I get it. Well, it's frozen, and it's shipped over to me, and I get it from Accardi Italian Imports.
Oh, it is Accardi. Okay, yeah.
So I get pretty much all my Italian stuff right from them.
I love this. Anyone in the South Shore, if you have like gluten intolerance or lactose intolerant, you might have a pizza option here.
Even the three of us who obviously we all eat pasta, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Yep.
So you eat my pizza, you can tell. Like I can eat like 6-7 slices and go run a marathon. I feel great. I can
eat
two or three slices from another pizza. It's just greasy. I'm kind of full. I want to take a nap. It's like. So even if you're not gluten, you can see the difference right away. And I'm not just saying that because it's me. There's 100 people out there that use Italian products. So
yeah.
I'm not trying to hype myself up. It's just a fact.
I got to switch to Italian flour.
I know. I'm
what the fuck?
I'm kind of mad. Like, can America just give me like normal, unmolested food? Like,
no, they can't.
Just have normal food?
So is the Italian flour enriched like the U.S. flour is?
Yeah, I mean, they
with Nisam and Ryokam and all that shit.
I don't know any of those words.
Yeah.
I'm making them up.
Okay.
I don't know off the top of my head, but I do have an inside video of them making it in their laboratory. So
we can figure this out. But you know that, you get a bag of flour, right?
Yeah.
And it has all the stuff in it. It has all the
preservatives and.
Yeah. And they're added in there, but I think they're added in. So that would be a big question on the Italian imported flour, as if it has all that stuff. I would assume
it
does.
I will find that out for you.
Yeah.
I assume it has something like that. I mean, some sort of.
We could probably Google it. We try not to Google while we're sitting here, though.
That's all I do is Google.
I assume it has. I mean, it's not like this guy is mom and pop, cranking out flour. He's a multi-billion dollar operation. So I'm sure he has preservatives and things of that nature. It's just, it really just comes down to. He has the same wheat plant that he's always had. And it's just, if he probably doesn't even know he's doing it, to be honest with you. Like, probably if he was in America, he'd be doing the same thing. It's just, you use kind of what you have. It's just.
So, how'd you come up with this? Because, I own a pasta company and I'm like.
I had a woman who had fibromyalgia and her joints would swell up and she has gluten. And she worked for me. She was my prep person. And, 3 months into it, she was just seeing all these delicious pizzas and she was like, F it. I'm going to have the pizza slice. And then she felt fine. And then she did it the next day. And then she did it the next day. And then I started doing Googling and researching. And then, found out the whole Nobel Prize and all the whole different hybrid wheat plants. And
I'm telling you, everything about him
is fascinating.
Everything about the conversations that I have with him is like this, like rabbit hole. Very interesting.
Yeah, I love that you like research and get the backstory.
Well, this is why I wanted to have him here.
Yeah, I love this.
All right, that's it. Well, great show.
I'm glad my biology degrees are getting, put to use here. So,
I'd love to talk about some of the stuff we were talking off air before we started the show.
Well, wait a minute. We haven't finished my little tour around the. I'm standing in his place. I don't know who this guy is. For some reason, I think he's famous in my mind, right?
That's way too kind of you. Oh,
no, I didn't say you were. I said, in my mind, I thought you were famous because everybody
I created a whole backstory for you in my mind.
I brought you a water, a sparkling if you want it. Fuck it, I'll drink it. Whatever. So, anyway, so I'm looking around, so I'm eyeballing, and I'm like, how the fuck's he do all this stuff in this little shop? Mind you, my grandmother told me I swear too much on the podcast, which I think I've already mentioned before, and I said, fuck that, I'll swear as much as I want, Graham.
My mother always, when she tells people about the podcast, she's like, just so you know, they swear on it. I'm like, Mom, fucking relax.
I know. So
it's a kitchen mouth. We have to, that's how we're raised.
So I'm looking around, right? So he's got this wood-fired oven, which is really great and really fun. And I was attracted to that, and I mentioned it several times because we at Tosca for years we cooked with a wood oven, so we actually burn wood. But the one there was a gas assist, which was very fickle. But the pizza in my mind is semi similar ish. What Chris does is he uses a little bit. Oh yeah, we could describe the pizza a little bit. So it's a little bit bigger dough, and I think you said, I don't want to give you away your secrets, but a 13-ounce dough or something.
13 ounces, yeah.
See, I listen. So he uses
how many ounces did you use?
We used an 8-ounce dough.
Oh, okay, all right. So he's using a lot more dough.
Well,
does it give it like a thicker?
Well, and mine also, it's also bigger. So it's,
okay.
So most, like, the 8 ounces usually get about 10, 12 inches, probably what you guys are
doing. Yes, well, what we did at Tosca was very, very thin. It was very
thin.
So his is a little more traditional, but it's a little different style. So he's spreading them out fairly large out of the 13-inch dough, right? So what is it, about 14-inch?
Yeah, 14 to 16. I mean, we say 14, but we kind of stretch it big. You
know? Yeah, sometimes like a higher humidity day, like it'll spread out a little bit more or something like that. So, and then he's firing these. So he's making the dough right there in this little spot that he has. He's importing his flour, which is obviously cooler than me. He's cutting his own mozzarella, right?
Yep.
Which is interesting because I've always done the mozzarella where you put the blobs on there and you, this and that. But so it was, I was immediately learning that he's doing that. And you don't use a low moisture mozzarella. You only use the fresh.
Only fresh, yep.
So you think about, like, so many places use like a low moisture mozzarella. That's what we did at Tosca. So it's like the loaf, right?
Mm-hmm.
But back in the day, we used to buy, and I'm talking like 25 years ago, we used to buy loaves and grate them, right? For some reason, a low-moisture mozzarella tastes way better than a pre-shred. And when you get into the pre-shreds with low-moisture mozzarella, it's very interesting because a lot of people will take it, right? So one company will basically load their mozzarella up with more salt. So people taste it, and they're like, oh, that's good. And I'm like, well,
is it?
It's
is
not
it good or is
it's
it
salty? It's seasoned, but when you
cellulose or something, what's the C one they put in that?
What's the C word? We don't say that.
There's something like that they put from the shredded mozzarella.
Well, the anti-caking.
Yeah, what's that called?
Coagulant?
No, it's an anti-caking stuff that's put in there.
Like,
we don't know what it is. Yeah, so,
it's
anyways,
a horrible chemical. So it keeps it from clumping up. You know,
it keeps it's from clumping.
Yeah,
when
like,
it's pre-shredded.
Like an anti-coagulant.
So we used to grate it, and then now we don't, which is you could really, if you really taste a mozzarella, we're talking about something kind of different, but this is pizza. So
not Kraft.
Kraft singles on every slice.
No, I just like to mess with Kevin.
Well, I have a good pizza story that involves American cheese.
Oh.
But anyways,
I'm intrigued, actually.
So you take this, and a lot of people, like I was saying, they taste it, and it's salty, and they're like, oh, that's better. But it's really about creaminess. But anyways, this has nothing to do with nothing because you don't use it. So he uses 100% fresh mozzarella, which is very interesting. I couldn't make that work because I would just put these globs on there, and it would suck. But now I've learned something from just my little tour of his kitchen to see him sort of mashing it and cutting it into these little cubes that spread on there. It's very fascinating.
I love this.
So,
well, it's my own kind of creation because typically, like I did.
See, I would have thought you stole that from somebody. So it's new to me.
I kind of actually invented it, not to.
You can.
Trying to be like humble here, but it's like.
No, don't be
fuck
humble.
That.
Fuck it.
But no, like when I was coming up, so
we don't have humble people on here.
I mean, even CPs, when I worked for Jimmy Burke, he was traditional, right? He wanted 900 degrees, 90 seconds, globs. You know, he wanted just like his Naples. That was his thing. And then I worked at Pizza Regina, which I did the same thing. Low milk mozzarella. We hand grated it. So I kind of created my own version, which was like.
So in there, did you grate from loaves?
Yes, we grated from loaves.
Yeah, yeah. That's a lot of work.
I can't lose a finger doing that too. It's not good. But
God.
Yeah, so I just kind of try to create my own kind of thing, which was in my mind was creating a American style pizza that kids would like, that everybody would like, but using the delicious ingredients that you get in a Naples pizza.
Mm-hmm.
Because I felt like it was two different genres. Like you'd order a pizza at your house, and it would be, you know, a local pizzeria, it would be Domino's, it'd be whatever. And then like the Italians were more of like a sit down, fancy. Your parents would go there, have wine. It was date night. You know what I mean? That's what that was.
Yeah, it's almost like we dumbed down the pizza.
Yes.
Like now we've dumbed down the pizza so much, we're like, eh, here's a little pizza party. I like the idea of you bringing back pizza as like the staple of the meal.
But his pizzas are not the traditional Naples style, which is like a doughier, fluffier,
wet,
less cheese, more bready.
So you have kind of created this new pizza where it's like taking the best of both worlds, elevating
the
pizza.
Well, it's definitely his style.
Yeah, I love this.
Yeah, so like my pizza, you can, you know, you hold up a slice and it eats like a regular pizza, you know, versus like an Italian, you know, like we said, the kind of the wet, globby, cheesy. It kind of falls apart. You kind of need to use a fork and knife. You kind of have to be at a restaurant. And like when we first tried doing it, it does not really go well in a box. you're taking that thing home, it is not keeping well. It's, you know, it's the sticks to the cardboard circles. If you use cardboard, it's just
mess. But his Napoli style, right, that he referred to doing is more of a sit-down thing, is a generally they're what, probably about a 9 or 10 inch or something, right?
So, well, I mean, my pizzas are all relatively the same
size. No, but I'm saying that
the traditional.
Yeah, but usually about 12 inches.
They're more doughy.
Yeah.
And they don't have the cheese or the toppings like spread like evenly or flatly, no. And they get these big air pockets. And the cook is really the thing to really be a Neapolitan style pizza, right? It's that
900 degrees at 90 seconds is how you get
that. That's really
the
what it is.
Pizza Napoletana label.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
Yeah.
You actually get a tile. They give you a tile if you get.
He's really sort of gone in his own direction and done his own thing. So another cool thing is like, okay, so talk about tomatoes.
Well, actually, the tomatoes is kind of devastating to me right now because I was just there, and I thought I had this great San Manzano tomato from the volcanic soil, and then I went there, and it's on the same island, but kind of like on the other side of the volcano. And I was
so it didn't really have like the soil levels and all that stuff that you wanted.
Not what they were been telling me for the last 2 decades or whatever I've been cooking, and you know, it's like.
So do you know what a San Marzano really is?
We used to serve them at Tosca.
Very rarely.
Yeah, I remember writing it up on the menu, but I don't know
very
much about
rarely.
It.
Rarely. So a San Marzano is an Italian, well, I'm not an expert, but as far as I know, is generally it's like an Italian style plum tomato, and they're not like a Roma plum tomato, which has like a kind of rounded, I don't know what that is, like an oval almost. They're more of an elongated plum tomato, and they have a little cute little point at the end, and those are your famous Italian tomatoes that are... If you talk to anybody in the Italian food world, they'll be like, oh, those aren't the right ones, or those are the blah, 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 blah. They all go back and forth. Now, I have never used San Marzanos. I very proudly, and people might cringe, we might break up over this. and I would feel a little bad about it because you trimmed your beard and you look really nice. But I have always used a California tomato, and this is Stanislaus California grown tomato that I really like. And what I have always judged the canned tomato thing, which is really weird, if you open up a can of tomatoes and take the tomato out and eat it, which nobody would ever do, but in the chef world you do weird shit like this. The San Benito tomato, the fuck is the name of that tomato? It's not San Benito, it's the tomato that I use. Valoroso tomato that I use, which is grown in California. You take that out and you eat it, you could eat that. You could literally, I'm not even shitting you, you could put olive oil and salt on it and eat it like a fresh tomato. This is a very delicious, packed, very consistent tomato. So the best tasting raw tomato, in my mind, is going to give you the best thing. Now, San Marzano's, I have found, very inconsistent. So sometimes that tomato will come out and be absolutely delicious, and then sometimes they're not as good. So you're specific in what you're using, right?
Yeah, so I mean, I use a DOP, which is Detected Origin of Development or something like that.
It's essentially regulated by the country, right?
Exactly, so it has to come from the exact same area at the same time, every single one. So it is consistent in that world, excuse me. But I do agree with Kevin in a lot of ways. I think it depends what you're making, right? Like everyone says, or even like you're making pizza, or it's like one of the reasons I use San Manzano is I like it's a little higher in acid. It's got a great flavor to it. I don't even really do anything to it. I just put a little bit of Sicilian sea salt. That's too many S's in that.
Yeah.
Sicilian sea salt into it. And I just, that's it. That's all my sauce is. So I want that tomato to shine. But if I make, you know, like a bolognese or I'm making marinara, you know, I use a lot of those California tomatoes for those. So, it depends. It's you know, the beautiful thing about culinary is that it's an eclectic blend of all these different cultures. Like my family grew up, my dad's from Mississippi. My mom's from Weymouth. So I cooked in New Orleans, I cooked in Baton Rouge, I've cooked in the North End, I've cooked, you know, here. So it's, yeah. So, I mean, it's especially in New Orleans in general. I mean,
his favorite city.
I mean, you got, you know, like a Creole, Haitian.
We've
like,
never talked about this.
People don't realize a Creole.
Do you know
Haitian
that he got married down there in New Orleans?
Like, yeah, I got married in the quarter,
And you guys go back like every year or something? Or
Yeah, well.
As much as possible?
I graduated from Louisiana State.
Yeah, that's your favorite. Look at you guys have more in common. This bromance is getting better.
No, but this is how every conversation we have goes.
You're just like, really? What? You too?
Basically,
you too?
Like every time we talk, yeah. It's the weirdest thing. But you know what's really fun is, like, as an aside, is like Allie and I have had so much fun doing this podcast. Everybody kind of calls and gives us like their thoughts on it and this and that. And it's actually fun to bring somebody like you in. You seem.
Can I stop you before I say it's an honor, by the way.
Oh,
it's an honor to be here. So thank you.
We're not that big. No, it's not that honorable.
But you seem
absolutely, absolutely.
You seem amused by this, and it's actually really kind of cool. That's actually what I was thinking too. It's like we haven't recorded anything in a couple weeks,
mm-hmm.
and it's kind of a bummer. You know, you're like we really enjoy doing this, and I think about it a lot. Which is really fun.
Me
like,
too.
You know, like Allie and I, like, sometimes, like, I'll be really busy. Allie would call me. She's all jazzed up. And she's like, oh, we're going to do this and this. I'm like, I'm fucking busy. Leave me alone. I'm like, yeah, that's cool, you know? But it's like, and.
Or just like a late night text of like, hey, I have an idea for a great episode. And
so, and it's really fun to bring somebody like you in to see how quick all the stuff starts clicking together. Because, like, we were running a little late getting in here, and then we were another like 15 minutes late because we were shooting the shit outside.
Yeah. We were like, shit, we're not going to have anything for the episode. We got to save all this for the episode.
And this
we
is
so
really
interesting.
And one of the really kind of cool things is that this is how a lot of this stuff gets connected. And we've met so many great people.
That's my favorite part of this podcast is just the people we have met that we otherwise would not have met. Which is awesome.
Network, learned about different stuff, talked about different stuff. You develop other like projects and so on and so forth. So it's really been fun. And so it's.
And I live in the South Shore. I live in Hanover. So I'm so excited to come over and try your pizzas. I've told my boyfriend about it. When we were first setting this up, I was like, hey, he used to live in Scituate. I'm like, do you know where this place is? He's like, yeah, I know right where that is. I'm like, all right, let's go. Let's go and try his pizzas.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
And to kind of piggyback on what Kev said, one of the coolest things I've kind of noticed, especially with Scituate, Scituate was kind of developed as just the Boston chefs of the South Shore. Houlihan, Robin, myself. You're a chef in Boston too, right?
What?
Did you work in Boston?
Yeah.
So everyone kind of did the city thing and they all kind of, you know, migrated south. But it's kind of become this fraternity, which is kind of cool. Because in Boston, it was very cutthroat.
Everyone, it's very competitive.
If this guy had a pizzeria, you didn't go there, you didn't talk to him, and everybody kind of hated each other. And now I feel like we all kind of work together.
Oh, I've talked about that earlier, too. Yeah, when I was younger, it was that was part of the kind of like cultural upbringing was like, what we're doing is cool, everybody else sucks. Yeah. And I think that's kind of one of those things that you learn a little bit as you get older. It's like, I don't give a fuck, everything, you know, whatever. Like,
I just want to try food.
I just want to eat.
Yeah, like that's. I don't understand that mentality of like, we're all passionate about this one thing. Why can't we all try everyone's stuff?
So segue.
Why can't we work together?
Yeah, why can't we work together?
If I need sugar, I'm going to go call Kevin. Be like, dude, yeah. Some sugar, man. Like,
it doesn't have to be. I mean, I know it's a saturated market, but it doesn't have to be that competitive. Like, I feel like our industry might bounce back a little bit if we started helping each other.
Yeah. Well, and it's fun, you know. I don't know if you saw the picture I posted on Facebook, but it was me, Ryan Houlihan, Robin King, and Joey Norton, Joby from Mulaney's, all went out for. We didn't even go out. We just ran into each other randomly, ended up having glasses of wine, talking food, and it was just like, that's actually how I met Kev.
Yeah, that's how it should be. So just everyone passionately talking about what they like.
I was talking about making my own pastas, and I was like, oh, listen, I'm getting excited. I'm going to make my own thing. And they go, do you know Kev Long? And I go, no. And they're like, dude, you got to call him. You got to, like, and I think it was Houlihan, he gave me your number. And he was like, this guy makes the best pasta. Check him out. Like, he's better than you could ever do. Cooks in like 2 minutes. It's unbelievable. And I'm like, but that's how it happened. It was just literally this organic thing of just chefs hanging out, talking shop, having fun. And that's the way it should be, you know, not like, back in the day, like when I was coming through, if one of my
I think some of that was youth. I don't know if it was then. I think it's this.
Well, I mean, I cooked in the North End. It was very
cutthroat.
The North End was not as friendly as it might have been, but I feel like any secrets were being held on to. I mean, when I worked at Regina's, they wouldn't even tell us. I was a manager for 13 years. They wouldn't be like they would tell us the yeast or you know they wouldn't tell us anything. It was like the dough just shows up, the tomato sauce just shows up. Like don't ask questions, you know. And allergies were less of a thing back then, so you didn't have to really tell us anything.
Now, that's interesting. You got to think about like the extremes of that, like say, like commissary sort of kitchen where they're supplying multiple outlets and they're sending in things and you're unwrapping it and this and that, as opposed to what Chris is doing, where it's like all right there. It's all done
in-house. Yeah,
all done in-house.
Like, he's bringing his ingredients. He's letting everyone know what they are. So, it's incredible.
So kind of segue to what we mentioned earlier, right? And we could talk about your stuff, whatever. I don't care what we do. But actually, I got to go back to my little tour of the kitchen here. So one of the other things that I love and I found fascinating, I love it, and I was so intrigued by this. So what you guys have developed is your retail pizza.
Yes.
So what he's doing is basically, what are your hours?
Well, they've kind of changed because of the retail. So now, I'm open Tuesday 4 to 9, Wednesday 12 to 9, Thursday 4 to 9, and then Friday, Saturday, Sunday 12 to 9. But now I'm using this off time to make this cryo pizza. So like Monday we just all day cryo, Tuesday's cryo, Thursday morning's cryo. So we just kind of I'm sacrificing a little bit of the, because like some of these days, I mean, it's like, to be honest with you, you know, I'll sell 5 pizzas, you know, if I'm open, or I can crank out 100 frozens.
Yeah.
It's like,
so he's downplaying it. But so the process that he's gone through to develop this sort of retail pizza is, it's funny. If I had to develop a pizza like you're doing, I would think like really big. Like I'd be like, okay, we need like industrial ovens. We need huge coolers, walk-ins, this and that. He has done this on the... He's done it right, and the pizza comes out really good, but you've done it on the same way that we're describing this other thing. It's very organically kind of gone into your production of it, where you are making the pizza the exact same way that you make it.
You're just freezing one, yeah.
Well, but he said 3/4 cooked, right? 75% of the way.
And I put, even the recipe is a little different. I go a little bit smaller, more sauce, more cheese, because that way, you know, when you reheat a pizza...
I didn't know this. That's interesting.
Well, it's a little different. So you want a little bit more pop. I feel like it dries it out, you know, you put it in an oven. So I made it just a little bit smaller because, A, you want it to fit in your oven.
Mm-hmm.
And then put a little extra, I put extra sauce and extra cheese in every pizza.
So, and then these go, he makes them, blast chills them, cryovacs them, right? Which is not new, but is... I like the way it comes out. He buys a really great cryovac bag. It's really kind of like a thick textured bag, which kind of helps it. So it's not like a big industrial sort of thing. It's not like a thin shit. And then is developed all of his labeling and so on and so forth. And basically is following FDA guidelines on this, right? Which if anybody's ever developed a food product, this stuff is like
not easy.
Yeah, it's not easy. It's a lot of work, it's a lot of due diligence, a lot of development, and he's sort of used some of this background of what he's done before to do this, and then distributes these pizzas and stuff, which is really great. And it was just, the whole process to me was very fascinating because he's gone through all these steps. I've done a lot of this stuff with the pasta. Mark Ellis and I did a lot of this, and I have basically got nowhere with it. Very, very limited. And
sounds like you could learn a little something from him.
I learned a lot already talking about it. Yeah, I learned that I shouldn't do it.
I love the idea. We talked about innovation earlier with like how you got started. But look at the innovation of, okay, if there's a slow day and I'm not selling pizzas, how do I still sell my pizzas when people are not walking in the door? Like, I love the idea of somebody thinking that big picture, which you just don't see a lot anymore. Because we all know the statistic that restaurants, half of them will close within their first year and all that shit. Like, yeah, this is the kind of innovative thinking that our industry needs to embrace to stay relevant and to stay ahead of the curve. I love this.
And also, I found too, which one of the kind of cool parts about this, as I was kind of doing all these cryo pizzas, I did some sandwiches from my buddy Marty's liquor store there, Greenbush General Store. But it also works as marketing. So I think that's one thing I think restaurant or business owners as a whole, we always look at numbers, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like you don't factor in that long-term thing where it's like, so by selling wholesale, do I make as much money? Of course not. But now my name's out there, right? So it's like, I'm in 8 different towns now. So now it's like, okay, so I don't make as much money on them, but like I said, I'm slow, so now I'm making pizzas, so I'm making some money, and on top of it, now my name's getting out there.
Yeah, you know? Yes.
And that's so, marketing. You know, that's how you get, you know.
So you're in some grocery stores as well, right?
I'm in 6 stores right now. So I'm in the Village Market Situate.
Yeah, tell people where they can find your pizzas in store.
You can find us located at.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, Village Market Hull, Village Market Situate, East Milton Fruit Center, Hingham Fruit Center, Norwell General Store, and Greenbush General Store.
Yeah.
So
we used to use the Hingham Fruit Market for like so many things.
Yeah, they're great.
Yeah, they're great.
Fruit
I love that
market. I don't know what that.
No, Fruit Center. Center. Sorry, sorry.
So Fruit what's Center. Cool too, and I don't want him to spill all of his information out. But what's cool too is like when I was basically drilling him about all this stuff, he knows all the numbers. Like sells this for this, da 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 da, and it's like he's got, you know, obviously like all down, and that is one of the things. It's like it's not the romantic end of the cooking thing, you know. It's just like,
but it's all shows his passion for it.
Yeah, yeah.
Like
yeah.
Knowing and, your numbers, knowing your market, knowing
right
all
off
of
the
that,
top
yeah.
of your head. Well, okay, so
well, sorry, I was just saying, you guys are making it sound so poetic, and reality is I'm just poor. So it's you know, I have to cook them, I have to do my own accounting, I have to do all my own work. So it's you guys make it sound very, very poetic and wonderful, but
I think this is the best way to do it is to like know.
Yeah, just make me let I me mean, make I, you sound
I'll
good.
I'll absolutely hire an accountant if you guys know a good one. If they do it for free or something, they'll do all that math for me. But no,
I'm hoping some people listen to this and go and try this pizza. Well, like this is incredible. The whole concept of doing everything fresh and doing everything in house and importing the Italian, like every step of this process sounds incredible to me.
Yeah, it's fascinating.
Yeah,
fascinating. I've really been buttering it up, and he just chopped it all down, which is cool. So, okay, so to go in some other directions here, I don't want to ask you what you think of it, but you know what I really like. I really loved your frozen pizza. Was the first time I had it, and I was like, "Ah, who is this guy?" I was like, "Whatever." I was like, "Ah, fuck it, starving." I threw it in the toaster oven. I fired it up, and I was like, "Oh, fuck, it's pretty good." And then since I've had pizza, you know, fresh, which obviously is like really great too, but actually the frozen one was unbelievable. So, but what do you you know what I really like, and I, which is interesting in the world of pizza, is I really think that the Cape Cod Cafe guys. They do a hell of a job with that frozen pizza.
They do.
And their production is really big. Have you ever had the frozen Cape Cod Cafe ones?
Yes.
So
they're pretty much the number one in the local market.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay.
Cape
but
Cod
that's,
probably number one for
that's
sure.
a bar pizza.
Yeah.
It's frozen, and they're very consistent, like where Chris's stuff is a little more, you know, rustic, sort of different shapes. But the Cape Cod Cafe guys, like for a frozen pizza, it's very good. It's expensive.
Yes.
For a
Well, see, the thing that's kind of what I was saying with the marketing part, it's like we actually, to factor in the permits, you don't make money on wholesale, really. It's just,
right. It's
the packaging, the permits, the labeling, you have to sell it for cheaper so they can make money. It is not, it's a act of love, it's not really, but you know Cape Cod, right? I don't know if I could drive to Cape Cod Pizza right now.
Yeah.
But I can tell you what 10 stores that they're in. Right, so that's what I'm talking about. Right, so it's like
you're breaking into that market. You're getting your name
pizza.
Out.
Yeah, I go to Target. It's Cape Cod Pizza. It's a local chain, and couldn't tell you where it is. I think it's Stoughton, maybe or Brockton, but I couldn't drive there right now. I'd have to Google it. But
yeah,
like, that's the marketing. It's like now, yeah. like now when I drive, it's even subliminal. I'll drive by that someday, and I'll go, oh, that's the place that you know. It's like you guys, Ken's Steakhouse Dressing. You guys know Ken's Steakhouse is an actual restaurant in Norwood, Needham.
I did not know that,
but everyone knows the dressing. It's
yeah.
like, but just that's subliminal marketing. So it's like, even if I'm not making money, you go to Hingham, you know, you eat my pizza, okay, blah, blah. And then all of a sudden you drive by, you go, oh my God, that's the CP's place. I had that frozen pizza. Now you come in, now, you know, hopefully you would love my
Jesus
pizza.
Jesus
Christ,
I make
my money
it's
going
to take
you know?
Over the world.
Now, do you do, I'm just curious, do you do catering too? Like if somebody wanted to hire you for a party or an event?
So I have a food truck that I bring.
Yep.
I have my own custom made wood fired oven in the food truck as well. And I do it at other parties. My kind of weakness, my strength and weakness is the same thing, which is I love cooking. And one of my things was I've worked as a sous chef. I've done some chef stuff. And I want to bring that passion into the pizza world because the pizza world's we're kind of shit on. It's kind of like the worst of the worst because like my family's all doctors and shit, right? So being a restaurant guy, even though I graduated in biology, like, nope, I still suck. You work in a restaurant. So I was already kind of shunned in that world a little bit. I love you guys, family, if you're listening. But then in the culinary world, I go sit down with these chefs, and they're like, "Oh, you make pizzas. You're not a real chef."
It's actually very advisable to shit on your family and say stupid shit, and then it's like they could just pull it up anytime. So yeah, just unload them.
It was not that they're
shit. My family set the bar so low that I didn't graduate, and I work in comedy and have a podcast, and everyone's like, "She's doing so good."
Yeah.
They're like, "She's hit the ceiling."
Well, Chris is just gasolined his whole family of like educated doctor people.
It's probably in my own head. Like my mom still asks me what I'm going to do for like a real job someday. I'm like, "Mom, I'm a CEO. Yeah, she's doing okay." Oh, you know,
you're like, "I own a lot of stuff."
She's like a school teacher, so it's like if it doesn't come from college, it doesn't exist. You know, and it's like, and in the culinary world, pizza is not as good as like Oscars, right?
It's
like,
so
I look
funny
up to someone like Kevin. You know what I mean? He's like, Kevin's at high end, so it's like,
it's so funny that you put it like that, and I know what you're saying, but I literally love what you do. Yeah. I don't like. I don't want to seem like I'm a fucking weirdo or something, but I'm like, you know.
You know what it is? You love people who are passionate about their job and don't just phone it in and clock in and whatever.
I know, but
so
I'm
you met
like,
someone who took a seemingly, this is not a dig at you. You met someone who took something that is seemingly uninteresting like pizza, because pizza is so oversaturated. We have it at everything. It's at every pizza party, whatever. He took something that we would consider mundane and turned it into something very interesting through nothing but passion.
Well,
that's why you like and respect
him. I like it. I know what you're saying. Yeah. I agree with you. But I like it because I'm not just trying to fucking make a good podcast here. I'm actually being very honest with you of all these things that I picked up from standing inside, seeing what you're doing. And you're like, I think
we appreciate how much passion you have for your job over the fine dining chef who's like, like whatever. I like what you're doing.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
There's an evolution there because, like, I mean, at one point I was dating this girl a long time ago, but we were trying to buy a house and things, whatever. So I actually sold my soul and worked for Domino's as a general manager. And when you don't, I didn't even eat the pizza. You know what I mean? It was like, not the shit on Domino's, but your pizza sucks. And it was just like, I don't know. It's tough to do something you just don't like. You know, like cooking, such a love. It's such, you know, it's. You have to enjoy what you're doing.
Yeah.
It's we work 12-hour days. We barely see our families. We miss every birthday party. If you don't love what you're doing and you're not passionate about it, it is just it's a miserable life.
It's soul crushing when you don't like it. Yeah.
So you know what's very interesting is like, if you really think about pizza, right? Pizza in general is good, and it's like I basically would eat almost any pizza.
Oh, same. Even the worst pizza is still it's pizza. Like,
but on a level, I'm actually like really picky about it. So it's like pizza's like opportunist or something. Like if you're like you're starving or whatever, like almost anything will do.
I am the exact opposite. I eat Elio's. I don't give a shit. I'll eat any pizza.
I eat bagel bites still.
Yeah.
But that's what I'm saying, though.
Yeah,
the right, if you're starving.
What about like pizza puffs? You eat those?
No, I don't even know what that is. So
the pizza rolls, Tostinos?
Yeah.
So if you're.
your kids are probably. Your kids must be grown up. Like, I got a seven. Well, just she turned eight on Sunday. But
I don't have kids. I'm just immature.
If you're going to go
that's what you drink it on a Friday night, you know, 2 a.m, little Tostinos.
Yeah, I still eat them.
If you're going to go. Like pizza basically spans all levels, though. So you could have whatever you guys are talking about, pizza bites, and then you can have this very, like, high-end pizza experience. And it's like, when it comes right down to it, like, it's funny because I guess what I'm saying is I'll eat anything, but when the level goes up, I'm very, very particular. And a big thing that I find a lot of time is the kind of higher end of pizza is seasoning gets missed. I think that's one of the first things that people will forget to do is to season their pizza.
That's like if I make a pizza at home or if like my mom growing up would make us pizzas, I feel like we never season them.
Yeah.
But that was a big part of my childhood. My mom would make pan pizzas with us. I grew up very, very poor, but that's a staple of my childhood memory. you guys are going to get grossed out. My mother used to use Country Crock. And she'd say, all right, we'd sit at the table and we'd put Country Crock all over our hands. We would like oil our hands up and then we'd like stretch the dough out. We'd do Prego sauce. I know, you're going to judge me. We would do Prego sauce and cheese, but we would do it like every birthday party, every sleepover. So making at home pan pizzas with my mom is such a core memory for me. I like love it. Yeah, but I mean, we didn't season
but,
shit.
But that's awesome.
Like, that's like a core. Like even my girlfriends used to come over.
Where
and
would
sleep
you get
over.
The dough?
My mom would buy it at Shaw's.
She'd buy it, or
yeah, no, she would just buy the dough.
Little supermarket dough.
And then we would have pizza party sleepovers because you couldn't go out when you were really poor, so you'd have everyone sleep over. And it was always a hit. Every party, every birthday party, we would make pizzas.
You have unlimited stories. Yeah, you really do.
But I loved doing the pan pizzas. And
so what the fuck? Where would you get these pans?
My mom was a baker. You know that. She like made cakes. So she would use cake pans.
You ever did a pizza at your house?
Don't
when you
were fucking
kid?
Make pretend you know what she's talking about.
Of course
about.
I do. Yeah. I was poor too, man. Yeah. My mom was a substitute teacher.
So what we did was she would use cake pans and we'd like press out the dough and knead it and whatever and do all the country crock butter. And we'd use Prego sauce and then just store-bought shredded cheese. And we would have a blast. And then as we got older, we'd be like, can we put cheese in the crust? My mom was like, go crazy. Like, it was just so much fun.
that brings me to my other thing, too, is crust. I have a real...
You like cheese in the crust?
No. Yeah. I'm not a big crust guy. Mm.
I actually don't even eat crust.
I love bread.
I love it.
Yeah. Well, to be fair, though, you know, when you own a pizzeria, like, I can only, you know, I can eat as many slices as I want. And if I was like, you know, college, I think I was eating it because I wanted to get the filling. But now,
see, but your style pizza is you're not a big crust guy. You don't have a big fluffy crust.
I mean, yeah, no. And if I do, I'll dip it in marinara sauce or something. Yeah.
But who eats the crust? Like
I do. I love crust. But I love bread.
Crust?
I love bread.
I love bread.
I love crust.
But
I like crust if I'm making it for that reason. I'll make like a puffy crust pizza or just cook off just dough. And then
when they season the dough. Like if you go to a pizza place and there's like herbs and cheese like on top of the crust, I'm like, oh yeah, you've jazzed up the crust. Oh, I'll eat it all day.
You'd love I do a five cheese stuffed crust pizza with use olive oil and pomegranate crust.
That's what I want. I like cheese in my crust.
Yes. Okay, piggyback real quick on what you were saying though. Yeah. One of the things I love about pizza. And I want to lump Kevin into this too, because pasta is the same way. It's such a vector, right? It's you can do like everything you're saying is like I love your pizza, I love my pizza, I love like my wife's a chef, right? She always makes fun of me because she'll like for the kids, she'll take you know Kev's beautiful pasta, but she'll take like a little marinara, doctor it up a little bit, something simple. You know, she's taking care of the kids. She's a lot of works full time. She's amazing. Where like I get one day a week where I cook and I'm like, yeah, I'm gonna like butter poach some lobster. I'm making like, you know, beef Wellington from scratch. I go crazy. Like I cook for 6-7 hours for one dinner and I go nuts. And she always kind of makes fun of me. And it's like, we're very much like I'm swinging for the fences. Sometimes I swing and I miss, but she's, you know, she hits a constant doubles. But, it's one of the things I love about it. It's like, everything's good. You know, it's like, if you take Prego, which by the way, since we're in the North End, can we just say how arrogant that is? You guys know what Prego means, right?
Yeah. It means you're welcome.
You're welcome. Who starts a company says, you're fucking welcome.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
I thought that was funny when I was in Italy and I was like, Prego means you're welcome? So the sauce literally means you're welcome.
You're welcome. Like the arrogance of that guy.
That's what the sauce means.
It means you're, and it's not even that good. You know, I mean, it's okay, but you know.
My mom taught me my mom or my stepdad, I can't remember which one showed me this, but they used to be like, we're going to make our special pizza sauce. You have to leave the room. You can't see the ingredients. And then as we got older, we realized they were just dumping sugar into it. Yeah. That's what my family did.
Well, wasn't Chef Boyardee or something was like from Ohio or something too, or something like that?
He was American, definitely. Yeah.
Yeah, my parents used to take Prego, which is like already like the probably the worst that you can get, and they would put sugar into it.
I don't have any. You keep looking at me.
I see your poverty. I'll raise your poverty. My mom was famous for taco night.
Oh,
all she did was just ground beef, you know, lettuce, tomato in different bowls, and then all the neighborhood kids would come over. And it was just like this amazing thing. My friends would come home from college and be like, call your mom, we need to have a taco night. And it's like, my mom's like, you know, it's just like
Ortega, ground beef.
Yeah, Ortega sometimes. Shells. It's, you know, it's not even, I don't think she even put seasoning in it. I was just like.
Fuck that. That's what Ortega packets are the bowls.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's all
they got a little bit of cornstarch in the mix, so it thickens it up.
My friends and I sometimes after school, because all of our parents were single and worked, so we'd like be home alone a lot. And we would get bagels and put like Prego sauce on the bagels and then put a slice of Kraft American cheese on top and then microwave it and then have like little pizza bagels.
So you keep looking at me with this Prego thing. I got nothing against canned sauce.
Oh, I know. I'm just looking at you because normally when I have something lowbrow, you're like, ugh, dog shit.
You take a chop up an onion, maybe a little piece of garlic and some olive oil, saute it up. Put a little, I love dried oregano. Put a little dried oregano in, then dump a can of, a jar of canned sauce on. You're in business.
Oh, I figured because you typically like very high quality food. I pictured
no, I'm just
you
like,
being like, I would never have Prego.
You know what's the best? not related to pizza, but it's like canned stuff, right? Take a fucking can or two of baked beans, right? Then take a little bit of like bacon or sausage, and not a lot. Like I'm talking like, you know, mild heart attack amount. Saute it up with a couple onions, and then you hit it with like some brown sugar and some mustard and some ketchup, and then you put the beans in and let it cook back down.
Sounds
until
very
it's,
like England-y.
Oh, it's so good.
Well, I'll give you my redneck version in New Orleans, right? So we used to take ramen noodles, chicken flavored, cook it out, kind of drain out the water, do a Douille sausage, Velveeta cheese, and roll up in a flour tortilla with a little Tabasco.
That sounds so good.
And it was like a poor man's, I don't know, breakfast burrito. Holy, I don't even know what it was.
Fuck, that sounds
good.
We had
the noodles, the sausage, the cheese, a little hot sauce, and that was...
So,
yeah, I love
it. So this. I opened, to give you my America cheese story, right? I opened a bowling alley. It was the third property that I opened with Big Night Entertainment Group. Was a 30,000, was down at
right,
Foxwoods.
So next meeting, we're all bowling. Is that what we're doing? Okay.
I love bowling. I miss bowling. So
I got my ball in the
I
car.
I love bowling.
I got my ball and my shoes in the car. Let's go.
I'm sure you do.
Like candle pin or big?
No, big ball.
Oh, okay.
Ball,
yeah.
So 30,000 square foot bowling alley with 20 lanes. And I put in like a double-decker Blodgett oven.
Ooh, okay.
Right, for like cooking pizzas and stuff. So we would do a one-pound dough that... I bought a sheeter. That's a whole nother thing. People go crazy, right? So we didn't hand shape. We sheeted them. And it was like it was really good. It was like a two-stage die-on sheeter.
That, in the pan?
Nope. Free form.
Okay. All right. That's pretty bad.
Yeah. And we developed a bunch of pizzas. And you're going to think a 30,000 square foot property, like we put out a lot of pies. It was like it ended up being huge. And I concepted the property, opened it, and then I hired a chef who immediately took over and did wonderful. He runs the group now that I'm not involved with them. But they really put out a lot of pies, and the pies were good.
Does this place still exist?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh,
what's the name of it, you know?
High Rollers. It's in Foxwoods.
Oh, I know High Rollers. Yeah. I love that place. I was there last Sunday.
So, oh, really?
Yeah. We did bingo. My family's a big bingo family. So.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
So... the pizza that we developed there was sort of like a cheeseburger pizza. It was like a Big Mac.
Yeah.
So we would take the dough.
I think I actually had that exact pizza there. Not last time, but I think the time before. There was like a...
Clumps of...
Lettuce on top, right?
Hamburger, yep. Clumps of hamburger down, mozzarella, and grated American. Right, and you had to spread the American out because the American under the heat burns, and then you would fire that thing in, bake the whole thing up, right? And the American worked really well because it conveyed that cheeseburgery thing, and then the top would get basically a salad of chopped red onions, sliced lettuce, and tomatoes, and then special sauce over it.
Nice.
That pizza is killer.
Yeah.
Killer.
I made one similar to that, but my trick was, and if you ever do it again, as I did provolone that I grated for the actual like protecting of the toppings, you know, and then right like halfway, three quarters, threw some American in there. And then with the wood fire, we think we can call it doming. So you lift up in the dome and it's like 1,000 degrees and just melt that cheese real quick. That kind of defeats that.
It's funny. I've never heard of doming.
Never heard of doming?
So no.
It's when you lift the pizza up into like the dome of the oven. So the dome of the oven's
way hotter,
yeah,
right?
It's
yeah,
it's like almost double.
So it's like broiling.
Yeah, it's like almost like putting it like in a salamander.
So you can like flash, like
never
cook
yeah,
real
yeah,
quick,
I,
and then
I tell
I
me
love
like
it.
You know, but
no,
I've
no, I'm
never
just
heard
I'm working
it
out
life.
Of my head. I gotta,
I'm shocked you own High Rollers. I mean, that's I've been going there. I not to give it back my personal life, but I used to be a professional poker player for a few years. So I moved.
What the fuck? You have more stories than Allie.
Wait, this is so interesting. Let's talk poker.
I moved to Southern Providence, Rhode Island, and on every day I went to Foxwoods and I grinded out my rent money. And
really?
And,
oh
yeah,
my God,
so,
I love that. Yeah, I wish I knew how to play poker well enough to make money at it.
I made like $500 last Sunday just for in like an hour, just goofing around. It was not bad.
That's great.
I love craps.
Craps is fun.
Yeah, that's. I don't like cards.
For most, when I was growing up, my dad was a blackjack dealer at the Paris Hotel in Las Vegas.
Oh, nice.
He started out at, he's going to kill me if I get this wrong. No, he won't. I think he started at Golden Nugget.
Okay.
Then he went to Sam's Town. Then he was at the Paris. And now he's doing like he's driving and he's doing he's not in the casinos anymore, but he was a blackjack dealer for a very long time, and I think he also did roulette. Okay. But blackjack was like his game of...
I feel like we had a similar childhood.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, yeah, my dad lives in Vegas, and we used to like travel back and forth. And
my dad played poker. He won the world, or made the final table in Vegas in the World Series of Poker.
Oh, my dad never played. He like doesn't gamble at all, but he was a dealer for like 20 years.
That's awesome.
Yeah, he was a dealer
Dealers are the smartest guys in the casino.
Oh my God, yeah.
They know everything. It's like,
so I've said this, I might have said this on the show before, but when I was little and my dad was playing at the Paris, my stepmom would bring us in. But in Vegas, if you're under 21, you can't stand on the carpet. Mm-hmm. So we would just like walk by real quick and try to wave at him like he'd be at the table. But within 10 seconds, if we stopped to say hi, and mind you, I was like 6 years old. There was no way I was playing at a table. The pit boss would be on us in 10 seconds. Like, you have to move these kids. We're like, you think we're going to play? Like, God, it's 10 seconds. He's got no one at his table. We just want to say hi to our dad.
Yeah, seriously. Yeah. They've actually gotten way, way looser and all that stuff now.
I know. They're way better now.
Like now, like the new thing now is when I was in Vegas for the World Series last year, the weed smoking thing is the same rules. You have to be off the carpet.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
These guys literally just kind of lean over from their chair and like blow it off the carpet. It's like, that is not anything. Like, you're 4 inches away from the table. You know what I mean? It's like... But
my dad was telling me the Vegas was way more fun when the mob like ran Vegas. Yeah. Now that corporations run Vegas, it's all fucking family friendly and Chuck E. Cheesy, and it's just not the same like exciting Vegas it was 25 years ago when I first started going to Vegas. I went to third grade in Vegas, like,
really?
Yeah, so it was just way more exciting back then.
Well, someday your dad's still with us?
Yeah, yeah, okay. Yeah. My parents are like mad young because they had kids when they were teens. So
you know Chris from Sopranos?
Yeah.
He has a movie called Stu Unger, and Stu Unger's this famous poker player, and he was tied to the mob in the 80s out in Vegas. It's just a great little...
Oh, I love it.
It's like a documentary, but it shows like the mob and what it was like, and your dad would love it. It was it'd be like his whole like kind of childhood, you know?
My dad was an Elvis impersonator. That's like part of the reason why he went out there was because he like loved Elvis, and he'd always wanted to go to Vegas, and he always wanted to like live that lifestyle. And then I went out there in October, and that was the last time I saw him, and he was like, ah, this whole place is like shit now. Like, the mobs are out, corporations are in. It's terrible.
Everyone's zip lining over your head. And it's
not there when I was living there. But
it's still fun, though. I was actually supposed to be there last week, 2 weeks ago. I had a comp suite.
When are we going? Kevin and I, we talked about going.
I still have a comp suite.
Me, you, and Jimmy Liang.
Yeah, they booked that without you.
They're going?
They're going to bed, yeah. Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
I know. Jimmy Liang, me, and Kevin were like, we got to go to Vegas. And then Jimmy just goes...
Yeah, I totally ditched you. Yeah. You know who else is going is Michael Moraway.
Oh, come on.
Yeah, you got bumped.
So Are you going, Kev?
Where's he working now?
He works at Branch Line in Watertown.
Branch Line in Watertown.
See, I listen to my guests.
Yeah. Yeah. Michael Moraway is one of those chefs who I don't think I've ever actually met, but we've been friends on Facebook for 10 years.
He's the best.
And we just like we share things. Or if I need someone, he'll be like, oh,
he's awesome.
Pizza guy, I need this.
He was our first guest.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
So it was our
fifth episode, yeah.
And he was our first guest we had on here, and
he
was
a trillion though, right? Or somewhere like
that? Yeah. Okay. He was there for a while, yeah. But yeah, he's a big supporter of mine, and we've become really good. Really good
tell
friend.
His Facebook friend Chris Patrick says hello.
Oh, he listens to this every week.
He's never met. I don't think he's ever met me, but we've been Facebook friends for probably a decade. So
he's so sweet.
Right in Quincy.
So every Monday, I put up like a little blurb about the podcast on like social media, and every week he like likes it, shares it, talks. I'm like, Michael, thank you so much. Like, he's a big supporter of the show, so he's awesome.
Well,
I'm a big supporter of Michael.
This too, so I'll try to hype this thing up a little bit more.
Yeah.
So I love the name.
Oh, that was all Kevin. Yeah.
So let's get back to pizza here.
Although, to be fair, I added one part to your name inadvertently. I said, it's my walk-in. I can grind if I wanted to.
I like that. I like that.
You get your own show for that. So so I went to... I'm going back on track here because...
We do that on this show?
No. So... I feel bad that I don't remember who was doing this. But I went to I don't know what the hell that's called. It's a National Restaurant Society thing last week.
At the convention center?
No.
Oh.
National Restaurant Association?
Yeah. NRA? Federation or something?
Association, NRA. It's National Restaurant Association. I know it sounds like the rightful place.
Yeah.
But it's the same thing. NRA,
I have no idea where it was, what it was. But it was down at Mayflower Brewing. They were very nice.
That might be something different. And the NRA is like used to own it was like association owned like they owned Abe and Louie's. And yeah. Yeah.
So this is one of these things that we all basically came. They brought in a bunch of people and everybody made food and yada yada yada. Right. It was like so. It was first time I had ever been to one of these things. I obviously wasn't paying too much attention. But anyways, there was a guy there that was doing. I was cooking pasta. There was a guy there that was doing pizza. I don't know what the hell he was calling them, but he had one of those little ovens.
Like the little uni things.
I don't know, but it was a little. yeah, you gotta hear me. Fucking disaster, just blabbing. So he had one of those little teeny ovens with the stone plate in it, right? And he was cooking a very nice dough in little triangles. He was cutting the top off of the triangle, it was like a little cone shaped pocket, and then he was putting it in a little paper sleeve, putting it in a cone rack, filling it with scracciatella that he made. Broccoli rabe and sausage.
Yeah, it's called pizza cones or something. He's a food truck.
I think it might have been a food truck guy.
I've seen it before. It's its own little thing. It's like a.
He said
it literally looks like a cone.
Oh wow!
It's like an ice cream cone, but the cone itself is like
pizza dough.
Yeah, it's like
it's a pizza dough that's flat baked, right? And it puffs up and it opens up, and then he literally cuts the top. Off or open, and then stuffs it all inside. So you eat it, and he said it's the biggest thing in like Milan or something right now. Wow. I don't know where the fuck it was.
There's a place in Boston doing pizza cupcakes right now.
Well, this guy that I can't give any credit to, but it was when you talk about like being particular about pizza and stuff, like which I am very. I'll eat Domino's, but I'm capable of being very, very particular. This didn't draw me in. So he brought me one, and I ate it. It was actually very, very good. And part of the thing was he was really nice dough recipe, really nice toast on the dough in this little portable oven thing, which was, a tabletop little forno, you know?
Yeah, I think I've seen his operation before. His thing is he actually does try.
Yeah.
So most of those things are kind of...
We like people who try and are passionate.
Well, most of those things are kind of fatty. You know what I mean? They're like, they'll go in and out. His thing, he actually does make a good product.
It was really good. I wish I knew who it was, but I don't remember.
I have his name on Facebook. I'll give it to you.
So,
do you ever bring your food truck down to the... In the summertime in Hanover, they have this like big food truck every Tuesday at Forge Pond.
Yeah, so you have to join the association.
Okay,
it's like a food truck. You have to.
I was just curious because I could walk to that, and I go all the time. So I'm like, ooh, if your stuff's
my
there
thing's
too.
More like, I mean, again, it's just my own worst enemy is the fact that I try to do everything myself.
Yeah.
So it's just.
Have you hired anyone? Like
sort of, but even then, I have to like mine's a trailer. So even if I have someone that can work it, I have to then wake up early in the morning. Tow it down to Hanover, unhook it, come back to work 12 hours, go back down, and then they have to be reasonable enough to let me pick it up late because usually they're like, oh, it ends at 7, pick it up. And I'm like, no, that's dinner rush, man. I'll be there at like 10.
So do you know Mike Kelly that does time traveling food truck?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so Mike is a buddy of mine, and Mike can cook like a bastard.
I don't really know his – I think it's his wife.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's a sweetheart.
Yeah.
She was at Mad Love with me last year.
So I have been trying since we – basically first, I'm going to fucking sell them out wicked hard right now. So since we first kind of came up with this podcast and, we originally started the podcast, we were going to talk more about like throwing parties and doing special events. And we've expanded into talking about whatever the hell comes across our minds. But one of my very, very first people that was, I think it was the first round or second round of people was I wanted to have Mike Kelly on because Mike Kelly was my sous chef many years ago. We've stayed in contact fleetingly over the years because Mike is just an obtuse cat that will send me like if I text him something and I'm looking for something blah 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 I like don't hear back but he'll send me like the weirdest like recipe crumpled up in a ball unfolded and it'd be like hey I found this recipe in a book and he's just like
he's got those friends. Yep.
So I have wanted to do an episode with him and I've tried to coordinate it with him like so many times and I don't know if he's just being dodgy or is really as busy as he says but I want to do an episode that I call I Hate Food Trucks because I am like so not a food truck guy like
I am a food truck girl.
Yeah, but I am not. Like, I want to go.
It's a tough way to make a living.
But besides that, I want to go to a restaurant. I want to sit my fat ass down. I want to order a shitload of food, and I want to have it all in front of me, and I want to fucking eat and this and that. I don't want to fucking walk around and have
it. Depends on the setting. Like, if I don't know. I really like when you go to a music festival, or if you're going to like a thing in the park and they have food trucks, I'm like, this is great. Like, I love a food truck.
I don't know. I just think of like, this fucking somebody sitting in the back of that fucking thing, sweating their balls off, right? It's like always a million degrees.
Always.
Right? And it's like, it's just sort of like anti like everything in my world. Like, I want to go.
But your world created it. It's created by chefs who wanted to have a life.
Yeah.
So that's exactly what you said. This guy was a sous chef, and I was like, well, instead of working 80 hours a week, not knowing what it's doing, he's like, I can schedule this out. I can work 4 events these hours, see my kids in the morning, take them to school. So we did create this mess that you're, you know, I agree with you, by the way. I think it is kind of a, I don't know. The full food truck thing is, I like him at the events. In my experience, kind of being an asshole to all my customers, love you guys, but it's way more of a penis showing contest right now.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, the amount of times, like, I've done gigs at this guy's house one time, and he had 2 food trucks. I want to say there was 20 pizzas. I think we made 3 pizzas. I mean, it was just literally so he goes to the board meeting on Monday and be like, my dick's bigger than yours.
Yeah.
Oh, would you have? Oh, he had Roach Brothers charcuterie. Well, we had 2 food trucks. We had a beer truck. We had those. It's just bragging rights. Especially where, you know, our neck of the woods, where it's a lot of people with money and affluence and stuff, where it's like these millionaires. It's just, that's what they want to do. We literally went to one. It was me.
I didn't realize people could rent out a food truck for their own home. That's how poor I am. I did not realize that was a thing.
That's almost exclusively what I
do.
I did not know that that was a thing. I thought food trucks were just for like big, huge corporate events. I did not know people could rent them out.
I did an event one time with a woman that was runs a catering and beverage service kind of company out of Plymouth. That does a...
She's got the little mini bar that she brings with her.
Yeah. Yeah,
she did my wedding.
Super great setup.
What is it?
Unbelievable woman. She has like a whole portable bar system.
Give her, props, because I don't remember who she was.
I'm trying to think. Because that was like... So my wedding... My shout out to Heather Sachs, by the way. My wife's lovely boss, who owns a farm in Marshfield. And because of our world, I decided I want to do a wedding with our world. So I had 3 of my buddies with food trucks. We had Had Dads, we had Sarcastic Swine, and we had Mulaney's do a raw bar. We had her do like waitresses, waiters, and we had a Harry Potter themed bar. So she made a Harry Potter themed cocktails. And we just kind of kicked it old school. Bunch of music.
And you don't remember who it was?
That was the one person she was in charge of. I did the 3 food trucks. My wife, it was my wife's friend or something.
I'm so fascinated by this. I did not know the average Joe could rent a food truck for their house.
You want to get one?
I mean, I would love to get one, but I'd never have the money for it. But
let's just get one. We'll do a podcast party.
Oh, my God. That'd be so much fun.
I'll just talk shit about food trucks.
For some reason, I thought,
you can borrow mine right now.
I figured, with the price points, it would just be, for corporate outings and stuff like that.
No, that's
it costs money.
Yeah.
That's the thing, though, is I don't think...
I've never hosted...
What Chris was saying is, it's not like a river of money every time he jumps hitches the trailer up.
Yeah.
That's I almost exclusively do these private ones now because it's not, for at least for me, because I'm just so busy with my own restaurant. So it's like, if I'm going to do it, and he's not necessarily it's all lucrative money, but I just need to know what I'm going to get. Because if I'm going to go.
Yeah, you need some sort of guarantee.
If you said, come here and do it, you know, for you guys, and it's like, okay, that's, you know, I have to staff my restaurant, take the day off, and all of a sudden, you know, I don't know, 20 people show up and I sell 10 slices. I'm like, oh, you know. It's nice to be nice to Kevin, but I came all the way to
downtown. I'm surprised that you don't. I'm surprised that you don't do a flat rate just to come out.
I fucking hate Kevin now.
Which is what I would do.
So I do a flat rate for private things.
Yeah.
But if you go to like the food truck, you know, in Hanover, there's 10 food trucks. I could go there and sell 1 pizza.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense. But I'm talking about a private party. You should have even if you sold nothing, you should be making money.
Yeah, the private party, you make money.
Yeah,
but most of the big events you see, we pay money
to go to the event.
I think Levitate's $7,500 now.
Yeah,
a food truck there.
Really?
Something like that. Yeah.
Oh, Levitate's the Marshfield Festival.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Basically the biggest thing in the South Shore. Yeah.
Sounds like my nightmare.
You gotta make
money
back, don't get me wrong, but yeah.
I have friends who go every year, but big crowds like that and hippie music, it's not my thing. It's just not my thing. I don't need
people love it.
I know. I'm just not one of the people that love it.
I don't think you could just shit on Levitate Foundation.
Oh, I just did. I don't care.
They're very nice.
No, I know. I go in for coffee. I like
they're great people.
They have right in front of the skate park. They have their little
brick and
mortar.
You ever go to a show there?
No, I don't like live music.
The backyard's great.
I don't like live music.
I love it when you just say the craziest
shit. I hate live music.
This is the best. I think this is why people listen. Fuck Chris. Who cares? Yeah. This is, I think, why people listen to this. You say something so fucking stupid like you hate live music.
I hate live music. No. I don't hate music. I hate live music.
Why?
Because it's way too overcrowded, way too many people screaming, everyone's got their fucking cell phones up, nobody's enjoying the music, and 9 times out of 10, the artist sucks. Like, the artist is heavily produced on the CD, and then when you get in front of them, they're like, dog shit. So
you've never seen an artist that you love that blew you
away? I have been to two concerts in my life. The first concert I ever went to, I was 9 years old, and it was Hanson.
Okay.
The second concert I ever went to, I was a freshman in college, and I went to Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Okay, you're going to stop.
That's it. Those two.
So are you a live music fan?
That's not true. I saw Garth Brooks, and I loved it. That's not true. I loved Garth Brooks.
I've been to probably 10,000 concerts.
Yeah, no.
So,
the exact opposite.
You're alive. So this is what's great about Allie, right? She says the fucking dumbest shit like this, and I love it. This is, like, the best. So I saw...
My friends all, like, they all go to concerts. They all go to live music. I fucking hate it.
So
I'll go to Broadway all day, but I will not go see some shitty band.
Stop.
I think you're thinking of Broadway like it's a show. Like, the concert's the atmosphere. Is like Levitate, I don't even have to know who the guy playing is. It's so much fun. You're just walking around. It's 10,000 people.
I'm not that sociable. You know. I don't like walking around sweaty strangers.
You ever hear of Tom Petty?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I've seen him live.
Love him.
So I saw Tom Petty live at the Old
Garden. Love his music.
Before they turned it down, right? And it was the first concert that I went to. So the Old Garden, I don't know when they tore it down.
God, 90-something? 90,
it was a lot of years ago. 96. So it was the first time I had ever gone to a live show. This has nothing to do with pizza.
It's fine.
It was the first time that I had gone to a live show that I had. He literally sounded better live than the recordings.
Wow, that does not happen often.
He was
But I love Tom Petty. He's a classic. I'm not saying I don't love music.
But
I would rather listen to it at home in the comfort of not having people around me.
Think about his fantastic recordings.
That sounds
right?
More like social anxiety.
It's way more social anxiety than it is I hate concerts. I just don't want to be around that many people.
If we put Tom Petty in here, you would enjoy that.
I'd love it. Yeah.
Think about how unbelievable his recordings are. He's got a great portfolio of music. This sounded better live. It was unbelievable.
Only time it's happened for you? Where the artist sounds better live?
I was going to expound my thoughts here before you answer. Like, when I was a kid, I grew up, I loved Aerosmith, right? And I saw them twice when I was younger, and I was very disappointed. Now, just before the pandemic, I saw them in Vegas out at their residency they had out there.
Mm-hmm.
They redeemed themselves. They're unbelievable. And that literally, like Steven Tyler's, like at the time, was like 70, right? And they were fucking unbelievable. They were so amazing. It was just like it was
too loud for you. I feel like concerts are so loud.
No, what the fuck? I can't hear anything anyway.
Oh, that's true. That's true.
You ever see The Dead?
Well, you know, no Jerry. I'm too young for that.
How old are you?
39. But Jerry was dead when I was, you know, a kid. But I've seen every member that's alive.
I saw Jerry two nights at the Garden. Yeah, I went two nights back to back.
Mid 40s?
I'm 48.
Yeah, I guess so, yeah.
I'm not lying. He's doing the fucking math over here. He's trying to catch me in the line.
I just feel like some of these guys were just dead before. You know,
I was in high school. Yeah, and we were on the...
I would have loved to see you.
We were on the second level, and the whole thing fucking would move.
And I heard John Mayer's crushing it right now. I want to see him now. Because he's a new lead singer of The Dead.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, John Mayer took over.
No shit,
wow,
huh? I didn't know
that. Super weird.
2 years in a row now.
Wow.
So who's like your favorite live people?
I mean, Led Zeppelin's my favorite band.
Really? Wow.
It's one of my favorite bands, too. Queen and Led Zeppelin.
Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young like 10 times. Seen The Who a bunch. Allman Brothers a bunch.
Don't get me wrong. I love their music. I just don't want to be around other people while I consume it.
I saw The Allmans in 93 at the Orpheum in Boston.
Yeah.
I think it was 93.
That's awesome. I miss the Orpheum. That was a good venue.
Concerts.
Great Woods.
Fucking expensive. I don't know how folks go to concerts.
When I was a kid, we had $10 Tuesday.
That's nice.
And for $10 in WZLX, and you just went down a ticket. We had to go down to Filene's basement. And you go wait in line, but you got tickets for $10.
Yeah, that's nice.
See, concerts now, like, open for the Who 3 nights in a row.
Concerts now, like fucking Adele's concerts, that's are like $3,500 a ticket.
It's stupid.
Who the hell can afford to go see music anymore?
Now I just do local. Now
I saw Ripe last year at Levitate, and it was really fun. Mm. It was in really at, but not at the big festival at the
store in the backyard thing.
Whatever that's
I've
called,
been yeah. to that. I've been to the backyard at Levitate. I don't hate Levitate. I just hate.
I
crowds.
Thought that was great.
Yeah. But the elevators rocked it last year. The backyard one.
Oh really? Yeah, they're performing at the big festival this year. The elevators,
yep.
right?
Yep. I was talking about House of Blues this year too.
They were, oh nice. Yeah.
Local guys, by the way, all situated in Nashville.
And, yeah. and what's their music like? Is it good?
It's all like funky reggae.
I don't think I know it. I don't know them. My wife was asking me about it.
Yeah,
she's
like,
oh, you want to go?
It's like Dirty Head, Slightly Stupid. I don't know. Bob Marley.
You're a music guy, though, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, I like
and my wife's from the Caribbean, so we listen to a lot of reggae.
My roommate's a big music person, but I'm not a big music person.
You've told me that before. That is the most unbelievable. You know what? I listen to music
I like
more and more and more all the time.
No, I'm not a big music person. If I'm going to listen to something, it's going to be like a Broadway show tune, musical theater shit is what I like. I don't know. I just don't like and I like 70s rock. I like Creedence Clearwater, Led Zeppelin, Queen. I hate the 80s. And then
I love the 80s.
I know you do. I know you do.
I know
hate the 80s.
You know what I'm super into now is Tyler Childress. Childress, how the fuck do you say his name?
Childress, right?
Childress. Childs or something. Child. Country kind of thing and yeah. stuff. And Sturgill Simpson. Just I had a buddy of mine like who he and I grew up listening to music together, and he was like texting me. He's like, "This guy is like, we need more from this guy. I mean, that guy's putting out some funky music. There's a whole backstory behind it too. It's like he's only going to put out like 7 albums or something. And I don't know if you've seen that, but it's interesting.
I like the idea anyway. You know, keep it you know simple and do it right.
So okay, what else we got here?
We got a lot.
What else you got for us about pizza?
Tell us where you're located. Tell people where they can find you.
Before we wrap up, right? Because what is your thoughts on like the New York pizza scenes, New York slices, shit like that? Like,
I mean, I think like I said before, like all pizza is great. It's a great vector. What I try to bring is chef world into a pizza. So you know, like I have one pizza, like my barbecue pulled pork, for example, where I smoke a pork butt overnight, low and slow. Then I shred it. Then I smoke my own mozzarella cheese. Then I make my own barbecue.
Do you smoke
sauce.
It in the oven?
Yeah, I use my secondary oven and I smoke it in that.
Oh, but you don't do it in the main oven, like residual heat.
So you're really trying to make gourmet pizzas.
Sort of. I get the temperature lower in the other one. But then, yeah, I fire roast my own jalapenos. I do some sweet red onions. I'm bringing you know some spicy, some balance, some savory. You know everything. My buffalo chicken. I hand bread. I fire roast. But you know, fire roasted red peppers, which everybody knows comes from a can, I actually roast them in a fire and then peel them and then hand julienne them every morning. And
now,
it's like,
of all these pizzas, you know, do you still like sell the most like sausage, pepperoni, cheese? I'm just curious.
Probably.
Yeah, I'm just curious, like how the palate of the South Shore is. We're all still getting cheese with these incredible pizzas.
That's the thing I love about it. Like you can bring that world to it. You can do both. You know, and it's like, and I don't hate anyone.
What's your favorite type of pizza? Do you have a favorite?
Probably buffalo chicken.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I love that. My favorite is anything prosciutto with fig and cream, like the one you used to make. That's my favorite. If I see a prosciutto
I'm a white pizza guy.
If I see a prosciutto and fig pizza on a menu, that's what I'm getting every single time.
See, I eat so much prosciutto while I cut it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so that's, you know, I'm like, that's my snack.
I'm also a big sausage pizza for when I go basic. Sausage pizza, that's my go-to.
We have a sausage and roasted red pepper with a smoked mozzarella. That's right up your alley. Right up your alley.
I actually bought pizza dough because I'm going to make a pesto pizza at my house this week.
You ever go to Dentley's?
I've never been. I've heard.
Yeah, it's good.
That's the one in Weymouth, right?
Yeah, Dentley Gardens, yeah. They're good.
Portnoy was just there like a couple months ago.
Yeah, their pizza's good.
Is it? Yeah.
You should go. Or you should pick it up sometime and try it.
It's just tough to, like, you know, if you get a day off to go, like, I want to get pizza.
I was just going to say, it must feel like work going to get pizza for you.
And actually, I mean, like I said, to be honest with you, I love cooking. So if I have a day off, I'm actually in my own kitchen probably cooking up something. So
he's like making a risotto and beef Wellington. He's not doing pizza.
I'm going to do saffron risotto and blackened swordfish. And a saffron risotto last week was really good.
Nice.
Yeah. And I got some fresh venison in the freezer right now.
Ooh.
That's going to be good. Probably do some, was it truffle infused raviolis maybe on the side? Shout out to Kevin Lung.
For your
my
pasta?
Man, my man.
I love this. Well, this has been so much fun to like learn about pizza from a very passionate person who uses great ingredients, who uses local. Guys, everyone should go and try this pizza. It's incredible.
Look it up. CP's.
CP's Woodfire Pizza in Situate.
You guys don't know how great you guys are. I mean, I think you guys are giving yourself enough credit here. This is some immense talent.
Hey, we're just,
in front of me,
you know, we're just here for the people.
I'm just here to piss everyone off about my love of music.
Oh my God, I can't believe it. Who the fuck doesn't listen to music? Oh, I don't listen to music.
I know.
Kev, we're going to have to kidnap our Chicken to Levitate this year.
He thinks it's so funny that, like, on my drive home, because I work in the city, on my drive home, instead of listening to music, I listen to books. Like, all my friends are like, what? You don't listen to music in the car?
I listen to tons of books.
That's all I listen to is books is in the car. Like, no,
I have like 200 books I've downloaded on Audible.
That's all I listen to is books and Broadway.
I'm listening to a new one right now I'm in love with.
I've been listening to Six, the Broadway musical soundtrack.
I love
that's
Broadway musicals,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, that's my favorite
right
now.
I just
right
don't
now.
Know, like, I don't listen to music is like the craziest thing I've ever heard. Well, anyways, thank you for coming on.
Chris, thank you so much
for coming on.
This is awesome. We're going to go have a pizza party at your place, and hopefully more people listen to this and realize that there's a great gourmet pizza right down the street from them in the South Shore.
I appreciate everything. Thank you guys so much for
having me.
Thank
you.